Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, rolling into hour number two. Always looking forward to State Farm Insurance picks of the week. Mike, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty now. Once you get to the NFL playoffs, your end is in sight. Although for some of us, our ends were in sight far earlier than now.
Yeah. Terry Johnson will join us tomorrow from State Farm, or scheduled to anyway, to make the State Farm picks. You still have, 24 and a half hours for Doug Marrone to get fired. So
yeah,
there's still,
he's not going to get fired.
Well, he could do something stupid.
I went for the longest long shot, and I was sitting there thinking about it yesterday while I was walking the dog, why I do that. I mean, it's like there's so many obvious guys that are getting, why do I take the one that is the longest shot? Stupid. So it goes.
Of the ones that I rolled out there, only Doug Marrone and Mike Tomlin are still employed. So I gave us five. Three of them are gone. Dirk Cutter, Steve Wilks, Todd Bowles. Kevin Shields took Dirk Cutter, and I took Todd Bowles. Anyway, the totals for me and Kevin are done. And like I said, you still have, I don't know what the chances are, but I'm not going to close the book on you just yet.
You can do that. It's all right.
I went 5-2. Well, rules are rules. You got until tomorrow.
Yeah, I hear you. I
went 5-2. Kevin went 3-4. And you have two so far. You're the only one that took Iowa State. And then you took Notre Dame, OU, the Titans. We all got the Bears right. You took Oakland. I can't believe you didn't stay convicted to that pick. You
should have.
You said before.
Called it all week long.
You totally
didn't
did.
I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you'd have been right. That would have been one more for you. But anyway.
So it goes.
Those are the State Farm results. The picks coming up this weekend. I have six games at the moment, with all the wild card games. The Colts are a 1.5 underdog at Houston. Dallas is a 2.5-point favorite at home against Seattle. That's kind of a curious line. The Chargers are 2.5-point dogs at Baltimore. Philadelphia, 6.5-point dogs at Chicago. Alabama in the national championship game, 6.5-point favorite over Clemson. And Wichita State plays Temple in basketball coming up this weekend. No line, obviously, on that right now. We'll have to put our heads together and figure out what that is going to be. So breaking news. This is just released. Wichita State baseball pitching coach Mike Steele has resigned.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow is right. Todd Butler in a statement, quote, "We are extremely appreciative to Coach Mike Steele and his tremendous contribution to Shocker baseball. We wish Mike nothing but the best in all of his future endeavors. We'll begin a search for the next Shocker pitching coach immediately," unquote. So Mike Steele has stepped down as the pitching coach at Wichita State. He inherited a team that had a 5.97 ERA in 2016, and they were 3.91 last year, their team, Ernie. Obviously, last year, 2018, the Shockers were 35-21-1, 23-8-1 at home. Steele coached five pitchers who were drafted in the 2018 draft, including Cody Hoyer, Chandler Sanborn, both taken in the first 10 rounds, and freshman All-America by Collegiate Baseball, Liam Eddy.
Shane, why does this have, and excuse the interjection.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why does this have the feel of something that's going to end badly?
Well, I don't know. When your pitching coach steps down this late in the...
You're about ready to start workout. I mean, you're right around the corner to the start of the season, for goodness sakes.
Makes no mention of who will handle the pitchers in the meantime. The statement was basically, that was me talking. That was the length of the statement. That was what was in it, the release. So, a little drama for Wichita State baseball.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yes.
That is unfortunate.
Anyway, speaking of baseball, you wanted to chat about the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame and its balloting and voting and whatnot.
Well, because you've started to have a, and I had a good conversation with a couple of guys who vote for the Hall of Fame that are still in the Baseball Writers Association. One who follows and very closely the game on a day-to-day basis, and another who used to, but not as closely as he did once, but whose judgment I trust impeccably. But both of them talking about the kind of the changing nature of the voters and a different kind of description, a younger group of voters that maybe have not seen or covered, certainly. They cover baseball, and they cover baseball very closely day to day, but might not have been around in the Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds steroid era.
Uh-huh.
And I use Clemens and Bonds because I think those are the two poster children for this era in particular, and there are others, but those are the two that we're talking about most specifically. The projections this year for the Hall of Fame class of 2019 have Clemens coming in better than 60% and Bonds approaching 60%. And those are from starts of, I think Bonds in his first ballot had like 23 or 25%, and Clemens was 23 or 24%, something like that. They were both very similar. So I guess the question becomes, and this is what I've long maintained, that there would be some form of settling with the baseball writers on the steroid era. And one of those players, Clemens, Bonds, A-Rod, whomever, would be the one to break the ice and get into the Hall of Fame just because of the changing nature of the writers who are now doing it. And Shane, I think it helps guys like Clemens and Bonds when you have writers who are looking only at their outcomes and their stats and their numbers as opposed to how they were affected by the era that they played in and how they affected the game at that time.
And it's going to be a long, long time until the steroid era player is cycled through and off of this ballot.
Right.
You know, so this isn't going away anytime soon, those of the steroid era. I don't want to say I've flip-flopped, but I've kind of gone back and forth in my head about these guys, whether they're implicated or not, whether on the Mitchell Report or not. And you know what I've deduced, finally? It's a museum, not heaven. And you can't convince me that Roger Clemens is not a Hall of Fame worthy, Hall of Fame kind of player. Same with Barry Bonds, obviously. Barry Bonds was this side of Babe Ruth. Was there a scarier guy to pitch to than Barry Bonds? I mean, he was revered, feared, and all those things while he played. And it wasn't just a after the fact stories got crazier as they went along. We all got to see this guy firsthand, unlike Babe Ruth. You know, we hear the stories about Babe Ruth's called shot and Babe Ruth hitting 500 feet home runs and Babe Ruth is basically swinging a telephone pole. All kinds of just mythical stories surrounding that guy, and yet we had a real-life Babe Ruth walking among us in Barry Bonds. And yet, because he was associated with the cream and the clear and was an aloof, standoffish, malcontent at times, had a bunch of strikes against him when it came to the respect that he deserved, the numbers that he put up, and is he a Hall of Famer? So I'm more and more leaning toward the let's let these guys in camp. And I probably wouldn't have said that 5 years ago. But, you know, like I said, it's a museum, not heaven. Are these the best baseball players ever? Damn right they are.
You're right. Okay. With Bonds, I don't think there's even a question. I think the conventional wisdom is that Barry Bonds had done virtually enough by the time that he left Pittsburgh for San Francisco to be at least considered a Hall of Famer. And then obviously what he did in San Francisco, you know, was more than enough to pound home the point. Mm-hmm. But what about a guy like Roger Clemens? Roger Clemens won 21 games as a 34-year-old in Toronto in 1997. A year after he went 10-13 in his last year in Boston in 96 as a 33-year-old. Was Roger Clemens a Hall of Famer by the time that he finished in Boston? Because he won 150-some games from the time that he was 34 till the time that he was 44 mm-hmm. and finished in the game.
Yeah.
See, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, my initial feeling would be he was the best right-hander in the game for a long time. But if he won 158 games after the age of 33, and do the math, it's somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. I don't have it directly in front of me, but it's somewhere around there. That's a very real question, I think, as to...
Oh, man.
I mean, I don't know.
Let's see here. He won 20 or more games twice before the age of 34.
Mm-hmm.
Led the league in...
He won 192 games in Boston.
Okay.
Over his 13 years. 192. So that takes him up to age 80.
If he just cut off his career there, I don't think that's quite long enough to actually be a Hall of Famer.
I don't either.
Just by volume.
I don't either. Even with a career ERA of 3, it was just over 3. And, I mean, he was a fantastic pitcher, but he might not have been a Hall of Famer after his 13 years in Boston. Now, he wins 21-20 in his 2 years in Toronto, and then he goes on and wins a bunch of, 80-some-odd games with the Yankees.
And 4 Cy Youngs after the age of 34.
Bingo. Then it becomes an absolute no-brainer.
Yeah.
But at what point was the needle going in the, you know, in the hind quarter? I don't know. That one becomes a little bit more sticky to me. I think it's a little more clear cut. Or is it? Or does it really even matter? Because to your point, if it is a museum and we recognize the greatest that the game has to offer, how can we possibly say that those two aren't part of that?
Mm-hmm.
But isn't Shoeless Joe Jackson? Isn't Pete Rose?
Pete Rose, yeah.
Pete Rose is never going to get in. Pete Rose would have been better off if he had been in the steroid era and was juicing the whole time.
Absolutely.
Because I think that there's more of a willingness to forgive and not forget, but certainly to forgive and just say, oh, well, you know, still one of the greatest. But he kicked the sacred cows in baseball. Betting on your team, lying about it, all of the things, all of that stuff. Betting on baseball in particular. We all know that you can't do that.
What stains the game more? Betting on it or cheating at it?
That's a great question.
Because we continue to hammer the steroid era guys, but, you know, guys... Gaylord Perry threw spitters and Vaseline balls and,
mm-hmm.
and Joe Niekro scuffed balls and had a emery board in his pocket and Sammy Sosa corked his bat a time or two. And I mean, baseball.
And by the way, people that talk about amphetamines in baseball, and that's kind of that's an easy kind of fallback. There's a big difference between amphetamines and performance-enhancing drugs. You're talking in the case of anabolic steroids and things, you're talking about things that help to build and to repair muscle. I mean, it that is something that genetically changes your internal structure.
Changes just about everything about you. Look at Barry Bonds.
Of course it does. Of course it does. So,
and here's the other thing I don't want to hear. Well, such and such doesn't help you hit a baseball. No kidding. Hand-eye coordination is the reason why all these guys are in the big leagues to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sure. I understand it doesn't help you hit a baseball. These guys are among the gifted, most gifted athletes in the world to be able to hit a 95-mile-an-hour fastball on the barrel of a round bat. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But the performance-enhancing drugs allows the balls to go farther, for you
sure.
to recover quicker, and mm-hmm. it enhances the fact that you're able to hit a baseball. And it doesn't – and I don't know. I've never taken them before, but some of these PEDs are rumored to actually improve your eyesight. So I guess in some ways that shoots down that argument if a PED actually does, you know, help with your vision. But anyway, I'm less and less –
What about pitchers that get Tommy Johns when they might not even need Tommy Johns?
And come back throwing harder than they did before?
Yes. And they come back and their velo is, you know, 5 miles an hour faster than when before they went. Look, there's all sorts of things that you can talk about. I do think, and I thought from the kind of the get-go, that these guys are going to get into the Hall of Fame. I think that there are ways that you can change the glorification of them getting into the Hall. For instance, I mean, does Barry Bonds deserve his day in the sun? I mean, how much is that worth? I mean, maybe he goes into the Hall of Fame, but there isn't, I don't know, I'm just spitballing here.
Yeah.
But maybe there isn't a ceremony inducting him in, and he doesn't have his moment of adulation in front of the fans and his fellow Hall of Famers. I mean, maybe there's ways that you can make a statement that way. I don't know. But I think that, you know, I think that you and I are going to be around by the time that Barry Bonds is going to get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I still think
Roger Clemens is going to get into the Hall of Fame.
Coin flip. I still don't. I'm not as convicted quite as much as you that we'll see it. And the other issue here is, or the other thing to consider here is, of those in the steroid era that we have, I don't know, beyond a reasonable doubt may not be the best phrase, but how coolly or non-warm welcome will they get from guys like Joe Morgan and
totally.
Those old school guys that'll be at the Hall of Fame?
Mm-hmm.
I doubt Barry Bonds cares. He doesn't seem to care about much of anything throughout his entire career. But a guy like him, or Clemens, who it seems to maybe matter more to,
right?
And was a little warmer toward fans and the media and everything else. What's the what will the reception be for him by the
A-Rod,
by his peers, especially A-Rod?
A-Rod,
yeah, guy who admitted it.
No question. That's the one that's really interesting because he's still a little further down the pike, and I think it means something to him. I think it means a lot to him.
Yeah, it does.
I think public acceptance. I think it's always meant something to him. So I don't know. I just think it's interesting. And, I mean, a lot of the old guard, I mean, it's the natural cleansing effect, even in something as time-honored as Baseball Writers Association of America. And who's to say that that members' definition of guardians of the game and the history of the game won't change? Or isn't changing. Now, I don't know if Barry Bonds, what is it, 75% that they've got to get in?
Yeah.
So if Barry Bonds creeps closer to that here in the next couple of years, do you become a little bit more hesitant to cast that ballot? I don't know.
We'll find out.
I don't know. But I do think it's interesting. And we're going to see those two guys with pretty high votes, pretty high totals. So
we'll see if they get high enough. Ryan is with us. Happy New Year, Ryan. How are you?
Happy New Year, gentlemen. Thanks for having me this morning. And to the point of, hey, are we building a $6 million man? How does PEDs affect? Is LASIK surgery, you know, does that count? And in the playoff football game, we had this, we heard about this surgery that Tua had to his ankle, and understand less than 40 days ago, he had this surgery, and then grown men are landing on him. You know, it's like the new, it could be the new Tommy John. And so is that, you know, robotics built in, and does that give somebody an advantage? Is there going to be some dad that has a three-star recruit in football that says his junior year, hey, we got him a surgery. Now he's a five-star. You know, where are we going with this? Great topic. Love the show. Rock it out, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Ryan. Yeah, Rock it out.
And well added to there, Ryan. Very nicely done.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope when you talk about
genetic altering.
Getting an advantage in whatever way you can and pushing the boundaries, or I don't know about the surgery. I was stunned also, like Ryan, to hear that Tua had a, in essence, a high ankle sprain and then got surgery. And I don't know if he's 100%, but better off than he would have been.
That's because we've all had, anyone who's played anything long enough has had a high ankle sprain and know how hard it is to come back from it. I mean,
that's a weeks-long injury.
Totally.
Not just a week-to-week thing. But
yeah,
he looked pretty good the other night. And
well, he sure did. He was moving well, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah. They, what did they put, a screw in his leg and
yeah,
to stabilize it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing the stuff that they can do. Let's get to the Shockers. Underdogs tonight in Memphis as they open up play in the American Conference. Happy New Year. Get to Wichita State in just a moment.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.